All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Good morning. November the 13th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. Hope it's great wherever you are at. Well, what's today? Thursday, back to work day. Looking forward to it. Had a great day off yesterday. Definitely Tuesday. Definitely felt like I needed a day off for Wednesday. Had a great day. But it is time to get back to work. Full day today. Looking forward to a lot of great clients. You know, this time of year, a lot of fear. Ooh, a lot of fear comes a-creeping in with Christmas and taxes and oh my God. So need to go out there and make some money. Actually been really busy. Yeah, no complaints as far as that goes. But yeah. The reality is I got to make money, and grateful for the opportunity, right? But yeah, I thought I'd come upstairs and see if I can do a little podcast. Went to the gym this morning, did the elliptical. Great way to start off the day. Nothing too crazy, 30 minutes. Sit there and look at my phone, just like the rest of us. Just staring at my phone, grinding away on the elliptical, but it felt good. I definitely feel better when I do that in the morning. So it's going to be a great day. Got that taken care of. Came home, took care of some bills. You know, it's bad enough worrying about my own money, but now I have to worry about my father's money and managing all of his bills. My own bills stress me out, so his bills are stressing me out too. But took care of that. Got a few things set up. Got a, you know, we do True Green. I don't know. I guess I'll plug them. Great company as far as, you know, taking care of your grass and stuff. I used to do all that stuff on my own, but a buddy of mine's like, have you ever tried True Green? I said, no, I never have. And you know, like I said, I'm not promoting them. They're just, I was on the phone with them this morning because I re-signed me and my father's houses up to have them serviced next year. And one thing about, I will say, about any company like this, you know, they get you, or not get you, but, you know, you get in with them, and then they're always trying to promote other things, which is fine. I get it, but, yeah, good company. All right, so I was dealing with them, getting the lawns figured out for the year, and then paying some bills and stuff. So it's been a good morning, man. These are all, you know, great issues to have, great problems. I've definitely lived my life where I did not have any money for bills. And I appreciate the service that I'm paying for, so it's not like I'm any sort of victim to this shit. I mean, we need electricity, we need water, we need all these things, so I appreciate it. But yeah, just doing that this morning. And yeah, I thought I'd step upstairs. Had a, I shared the last few times, you know, I've been trying to adjust different meetings and stuff. And really sort of, I don't know why, I'm going to say it's spiritual, who knows, but really started to have a real dislike for the Wednesday night meeting that I was, my home group. You know, when the, you know, we were, like most places, you know, our meetings were all shut down during the pandemic, and that was the first meeting in our area that opened up for in-person meetings, and I remember going, and I remember wearing a mask, and I remember crying. I remember I hadn't been to a meeting in a couple of years, right? I did not do the Zoom. And I've shared before, at the prior to that pandemic starting, I was starting to have a bit of a resentment towards recovery anyway. I don't know why. I think it's probably right on schedule. But I just remember I was feeling very cynical and, you know, just judgmental. I don't know what's up with that. Just how I guess it is. And then the pandemic hit, and of course, we didn't go to any meetings. And then I remember thinking, that's fine. Right? That's fine. I don't need to go to a meeting. I'm sick of these meetings. Does that mean I don't want to be sober? No. It just means that, you know, there's a lot of thoughts, right, in my head at the time. And, you know, it is a natural, I won't say it's the natural path for everyone, but I do believe there are definitely some ups and downs in recovery. I shared about the guy that was like kind of frustrated with the meeting, and he didn't even have a year. And I'm like, dude, I came in 1997, do this for like 28 years and then tell me how, you know, annoying it can get. We definitely go through some changes. But, you know, it was the meeting that opened, and it was my home group, and I was like, God damn, I was so grateful and hadn't, you know, had, was almost embarrassed how high I had become so cynical about the program, and was just really grateful and overwhelmed with emotions and gratitude. And I remember tears falling, rolling down my face at that first meeting, because I was just so, one, grateful to be sober, and two, grateful to be at a meeting, right? The magic that the meetings have, the group, the people, the laughter, the relationships, all of that wonderful stuff. It may not seem that way in the beginning, but in the end, that's what it ends up being. If we want to be sober and we want to participate, that's what ends up being a thing, is that just this wonderful relations. But for some reason, I'd started to become cynical again, right? So I started doing different meetings, and you know, I shared yesterday, my buddy, and it was just, you know, first of all, what a magical moment, right, last night, because, you know, I sponsor two guys. One's anniversary is in this month, and the other one's anniversary is next month. My anniversary is next month. And, you know, my buddy was celebrating last night, and I'm like, well, I got to go to the meeting, because, you know, I want to be there for my friend. And so I went to the noon meeting, but then went to the meeting last night, but all day. And I think I talked about it a little bit yesterday, how I was like having like anxiety, having a little bit of anxiousness, because I don't know why, right? It's almost like spiritually I had sort of bad mouthed in my mind. Not bad mouthed, but I don't know, just made up a bunch of reasons why I couldn't go to the meeting anymore, and I needed a change and all this stuff. And I will say the success of that meeting has been awesome. I mean, there's just a lot of people that go. I think that is my biggest issue. It's just so big. And I feel intimidated. And, you know, I get nervous around a lot of people. Still part of, you know, one of my character defects, I guess. But whatever, right? Whatever. I mean, I've talked myself into other bullshit. So, you know, this is nothing new. But, you know, I had a little anxiety yesterday, and you know, went to the meeting last night, and man, what an amazing experience. You know, the one thing I love about that meeting is I love all the people there, and it was so great to see all of my friends. And, you know, a really amazing thing happened last night. You know, the one guy I sponsor is the secretary of the group for this month, and then the other guy I sponsor was celebrating. And so, and then I sat, you know, it just happened to, I grab a seat, so it was sort of up front anyway. So I'm sitting up front with one guy that I sponsor who's running the meeting, and the other guy I sponsor who's celebrating his first year. And it was just awesome. You know, the guy celebrating, I had met a year ago, roughly. And I remember meeting him at another meeting, same building, different meeting, actually. And he was there with his mother. And I've seen this sort of situation happen many times. You know, a family member brings somebody in and it's just the bottom, right? They've hit bottom, hopefully. And I remember just talking to him as I would any newcomer. I always go over and introduce myself, shake their hands. How you doing, man? Here's my number. Call me if you want. I am available. You know, I don't have to be your sponsor, but I can be your temporary sponsor, just like Ron M. did to me. Ron M. saved my life with that one gesture of coming up, introducing himself, and telling me, I am going to be your temporary sponsor. And I was like, okay. And however, I did not tell that to my friend, but I did say, I can be your temporary sponsor. And he said, okay. And I said, call me every day, and he did. And his parents were there last night, and you could just see, you know, the joy. You know, I can't imagine what it would be like to have my kids struggle, and I hope I never experience that, but I hope that if that does happen, that somebody will come up, shake his hand, and offer to be his temporary sponsor.
Another night, and I'm all alone, and I wonder where you are, who you're holding, and I'm wasting time by telephone. Gets harder when there's no way of knowing. I thought we'd be together someday.
LA Guns, It's Over Now. What a great song. I heard that on the radio the other day. I was like, ooh, ooh. But yeah, it was a great night. Yeah, man, just the program working for people. And, you know, I do like the way that these guys and I have been working together. We have a meeting at my house on Sunday mornings. And we're just taking it slow and sort of letting life sort of guide us through these steps, right? I know we did, you know, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives have become unmanageable. You know, the God thing is always interesting. Both boys go to church. Reminds me of myself searching. I'm not speaking for them. I'm speaking for me, as when I was going to church, it was always seeking for that help, right? Something God could do for me. And, you know, participating and, you know, maybe hanging around long enough, it would get on me, and never happening. But that was my story. These guys both enjoy church, and I love that. Usually we do our meeting after church. And then, but, you know, we've just been living, right? And as things come up, we sort of discuss it and try to reflect on what part of, what step would this sort of partake in. And, you know, for new guys like that, even for myself, the third step still is the beginning of a relationship with the God of our understanding, right? It's to make the right choices, doing the right thing and living in that for a while, which is pretty cool. And then onward and upward and through the steps. And we are working on the fourth step today, not today, but as of today. And, you know, just sort of, you know, working through the week. And then sitting down on Sunday and going, you know, this was a situation that came up, and sort of doing a four-step through it and trying to just live it instead of having to, right? Just get to experience, and then we kind of see, oh, wow, I do see how that is or how that would help. And, you know, it's been great. Two guys, you know, I'd love to say I've played a part, but, you know, when you want to get sober, there are people there to help. And both these guys do, and it's just been really a great experience. And turn that up a little bit. And then after my buddy shared, he said, you know, his topic was turning it over. And man, what a great topic, right? Turning it over. You know, that's the one cool thing about this program is there's a lot of cool things and a lot of cool suggestions and sayings. And you know, if I use them and remember them, it does give me a lot of opportunity to minimize the pain, right? My buddy Matt used to say, man, you know, I got one prayer. And I'd be like, what is it? He said, dear Lord, my shoulders are not big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And I was like, well, that's a weird prayer. You're not really getting anything. This is what I thought. I didn't say this out of my mouth. I said, oh, that sounds good. But of course, in my mind, I'm like, well, that doesn't really... not getting anything. Dear Lord, help me. Dear Lord, make my shoulders wider. Right? There was none of that. Dear Lord, my shoulders are not big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And then there was a time I shared when I got involved in a business and I partnered up with a nut and I knew better. And when the business collapsed and I was completely powerless over the situation, I was incensed, right? I was at a moment where I just wanted to, hurt somebody, drive my car through a building, right? Those moments where you're like, what happened? Why did I do that? It was at that moment, and I really had nothing I could do, and I thought back to that prayer, and I said it. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And my buddy Matt used to wear a rubber band on his wrist to remind himself to use that prayer because it is very helpful. And it saved me that day. I had to say it over and over, but it melted away that self-centeredness, that spirit. You know, and I would have to take another hard look at that whole situation because at that moment, I was feeling like a victim. And man, when I'm in that mode, boy, it's all the senses are firing off and I'm really desperate. But at that moment, I felt like a victim, unable to figure out the part that I had played, just felt like I'd been done dirty and damn it, I am annoyed And, you know, but saying, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And what it says is, I can't handle this without you, Lord. I can't do it. I'm turning it over. I'm just letting it go. It isn't even about that. Because up until saying that, my ego and my pride said that I am able to handle all that. But I wasn't. I wasn't spiritually fit to handle any of that. And when I say spiritually fit, because I wasn't spiritually fit to avoid getting into the situation in the first place. Right? Because greed, right? That falls under the self, right? Those are, you know, all that group. Greed, insecurity, jealousy, inconvenience, arrogance. They're all, it's like a gang. But greed was one of them. Right. And I, you know, when I do situations, and especially like that, when I, you know, said yes and invested, because in the end I thought, my God, this is going to make me millions. And it just doesn't work out like that. If it's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. And that's the situation. But in that time, I was blind to it, and I was just feeling like a victim, and I wanted to lash out. And that was the saving prayer. And then, of course, my buddy shared last night, you know, he does the same thing, but he does it with the third step prayer. And he said the third step prayer. I'm not smart enough to memorize the third step prayer. You know, but, if I were going to slim it down, you want me to give you the diet version. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. You know, I've been told that we shouldn't ask for anything in a prayer. It's about recognizing. But that's what I was told. I don't know if that's true. In the third step prayer, it asks for things. Give me strength, right? Let me be of service. Give me strength to be of service, whatever it is. And I love the prayer, and I think it's amazing. So I'm not bad-mouthing it. But I just am not smart enough to memorize it. But, you know, to each his own. But I, you know, for me, the point is, when I'm in a situation where something like this comes up, it's usually I'm so out of myself and incensed and self-centeredness that I have to recognize that I can't do this. And as soon as I mention, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm turning this over to you, whatever spirit, evil spirit is in there freaking sucking me dry, leaves. And, you know, sometimes I have to say it a few times. Luckily, I don't have to say it that much today because, you know, today I find myself a little bit more spiritually fit to avoid situations like that. And even though back in those days I was absolutely sober, but I was only sober. I hadn't started to learn about serenity, and I hadn't started to learn about these roles that I play even in a sober life. And that was one of them, getting involved in a business that was about greed. I was greedy. You know, I opened a hair salon because I wanted to do hair. Right? I had worked for somebody. I had been involved in a salon where the two owners became, started fighting amongst themselves. It became very uncomfortable, really hard to work there. Love both of them, right? They're fine people. But man, together, those two, And I opened a salon because it was a solution for me, one, not having to work for other people. And two, it allowed me to continue to work, right? I mean, I needed to work somewhere. I wasn't going to work there. And that's why I opened that salon. And it was a solution to a problem that I had, and it solved it. And it was an amazing experience. I did not run a business very well. You know, I could show up, I could cut hair, I could save money, I could pay bills. But I wasn't good at reinvesting, and I wasn't good at moving forward with the business. You know, the business looked the same as the day that I opened it. I mean, I made a few upgrades, but, you know, I think about my buddy Matt, and he would always, you know, he's always upgrading and improving and promoting. I remember he said when I opened the salon, he goes, find the biggest billboard you can by your salon and buy it for a year. And I was like, all right. It was like $14,000. I'm like, I don't got $14,000. I'm not doing that. But that's what business people do. They know that in turn will pay off for them. But all I think of is in the moment, and that seemed like a lot. So I was never good at business. I was great at showing up, and I was great at doing the service, but I wasn't really great at building a business. When I closed that thing, I had nothing to sell. I probably lost money. I didn't really care. But this business that I was going to do was going to make me millions, and I really didn't have... I literally had to do nothing, just invest. But I was promised that there would be, you know, communication, and we would do this and that, and it didn't go that way. And I also knew that the person that I was doing this business with was freaking nutso. Nuts. But this person had a great idea, and... You know, this person was capitalizing on the moment, and I was like, damn, that is awesome. This is my time to shine. And it didn't work out like that. And I had to go back and look, you know, greed. You know, that was about greed. That wasn't about servicing the neighbors. That was about greed and self and all of that bad stuff. And but until I could recognize that, I was a victim. And that those victim-y moments, man, it gets crazy. And so turning it over was helpful. And, you know, I do it all the time, but I don't have to do it as bad as or as much as I used to. You know, we want to try to get better. I really, you know, I've had the spiritual awakening. It doesn't mean I'm constantly spiritually awoke, but I know what it takes to have it, and I know what it takes to take it away. And, you know, I try to avoid those things today. And, you know, like I shared last night, you know, this, you know, we can turn things over and all this other stuff, but eventually, hopefully, we get to a point in our lives and in this program where we really start making better choices. You know, we work until the pain stops, you know, but hopefully the pain doesn't keep showing up and we have to keep working. And actually, you know, that's sort of how it works. I mean, I don't know anybody that's just like, all right, I'm going to do all of this in 1 month and then I'll be just golden. You know, it's life experiences, going through them. You know, this whole, you know, not going to this meeting. Last night I went to that meeting. It was great to see everybody. And, you know, it was weird because, like I said, I was having a little anxiety about even going to the meeting. There's something that doesn't want me to get better. And if it has an opportunity to whisper in my ear, don't go. They're going to be mad at you for not being at the meeting. You know, this is my journey. I do it the best I can. But it was crazy. Excuse me. But it was a great meeting. It was awesome to see those guys, and I'm just really proud of them. I wanted to read... Excuse me. I guess it's phlegm time of the year. Sorry. Persistence and Power. Let's see if I can read this. Actually, I'm going to drink. All right. Persistence and power. No, excuse me. Persistence and prayer. We often tend to slight serious meditation and prayer as something not really necessary. To be sure, we feel it is something that might help us to meet an occasional emergency. But at first, many of us are apt to regard it as a somewhat mysterious skill as of clergymen, from which we may hope to get its secondhand benefit. Mm-hmm. In AA, we have found that the actual good results of prayer are beyond question. They are matters of knowledge and experience. All those who have persisted have found strength not ordinarily their own. They have found a wisdom beyond their usual capabilities, and they have increasingly found a peace of mind which can stand firm in the face of difficult circumstances. Yeah. You know, it's so true. There is some real magic in prayer. It's crazy. But, you know, learning how to pray rightly, right? That word, rightly. You know, my prayers used to be, Dear Lord, you know, I can't get a job. Help me find a job. Dear Lord, help me get some money. Dear Lord, help me find the right girl. Help me find an education. Dear Lord, help me not be in trouble. Whatever. But it was always self-serving. I did not pray rightly. And, you know, today I have one prayer and I said it. I just said it. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And it's sort of also like, you know, the 10th step, when we continue to take personal inventory and when we're wrong, promptly admit it, but then try not to do it again. And I think that's where I've been in the last few years, really trying to clean up the loose ends, trying not to do it again, right? Trying not to get into a point where I need to say that prayer, right? To me, that is a white knuckle prayer. That is not something I wake up. And you know what, though? It may be, you know, I do try to wake up every day and be of service to someone. I do try to help other people. I do, you know, I try to be a good person. You know, I try to keep my mouth shut, right? I've gone through some situations with comments and over politics, and I've shared in this podcast, man, I'm trying to be better. I've slipped a couple times. I had a couple slips. But I'm trying to be better. I'm thinking about it, right? Because I don't want the pain downriver where I'm like sitting at home at 9 o'clock after a long day and going, God, I wish I hadn't said that, right? Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. Here comes all the prayers. I want to avoid trying to get into situations where I'm having to use these, you know, these last minute prayers. And just like the 10th step, you know, continue to take that. And when we're wrong, promptly admit it. And then don't do it again. And it's, you know, it's helpful. I do pray at night. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for keeping another day sober. Watch over us tonight as we sleep. I pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess there's a little bit of asking in that, but I'm just recognizing, thank you, man. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me another day sober. And what I mean by that is just the Lord is with me, right? I just know it. I know it. And it just takes one bad move, and he's all over me. And intuitively, and I hear it today. I did not hear it back in those days. And so it's just been amazing. So, all right, let's read the daily reflections, and then I'm going to go to work and try to have a great day. And I hope everyone else has a great day today, too. All right. Daily reflections. Looking outward, November 13th. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Interesting. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 87. As an active alcoholic, I allowed my selfishness to run rampant in my life. I was so attached to my drinking and other selfish habits that people and moral principles came second. Now when I pray for the good of others rather than my own selfish ends, I practice a discipline of letting go of selfish attachments, caring for my fellows, and preparing for the day when I will be required to let go of all earthly attachments. That's right. How funny is that? I don't prepare for any of this. I just sit down and see what comes out. And it's so funny when that is sort of reflecting on what we're talking about, this prayer, and just, you know, recognizing that stuff. Thank you, God. I appreciate it. All right, listen, I hope everyone has a great day, and I will catch you later. Bye. If you broke my heart, I can't let it show. I can take the pain, I can't let you go. Some people change, guess you had to be. Even though you're gone now, you still mean so much to me. Drop.